Somebody else introduce.
Okay. Oh, introduce the podcast.
No, we're not clapping. No,
okay,
we're done.
I'm just going to stay like this the whole time. All right. What's the name of our podcast?
Android Developers doing, Backstage.
I'm super confused. Are we introducing or are we clapping?
No, we're introducing. We're done clapping.
Okay.
Clapping comes at the end of her performance, not the beginning. Ugh. Is that like a French thing?
Oh, yeah, because you know, nobody stays until the end. All right.
That was classy.
Hello and welcome to Android Developers Backstage. I'm Romain Guy of the Android Toolkit team.
I'm Tor Norby from the Android Studio team.
And I'm Chet Haas from the Developer Relations team.
All right.
Tor, this was your idea, so why don't you kick us off here?
This is the second podcast we're recording today.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for things to do.
Yeah, no, this is kind of a unique time in the world. We're finding ourselves working from home, sheltering in place, and it seemed like it might be nice to get together and just chat and maybe exchange some tips on what we're doing to sort of, I don't know, keep up with the news and how to stay productive at work and all that stuff. So, yeah.
It's interesting that Chet took the concept of sheltering in place so far that he's always on the treadmill. So he's not he's not going anywhere, even within his house. He's just staying literally in one place.
It's a metaphor for where I'm going in life.
Exactly. You're going nowhere.
I can walk
fast
and walk and walk for hours, and I go absolutely nowhere. I'm trying to replace the gym. So the interesting thing to me is, I think over the last 10 to 15 years, we've all, I think, in tech, gotten pretty good in general at working from home, working from anywhere. You know, either we're traveling or we occasionally need time at home, or maybe some people are just full-time at home or in remote offices. And we use GVC. That's come a long way from where it was. And so
we probably should.
It was easy for us mentally to say, yep, we can do that. And then after a few days, oh, we're doing it for a long time. That's different.
Probably should define GVC, because I don't think there's an acronym that's known everywhere.
Oh. Video conferencing.
Yeah, and GVC is the Google one.
The G stands for Google. Yes.
Okay. Yes.
So, unsurprisingly, we use Hangout Meet. What is it called? Yeah.
Yep.
Google Meet, whatever it's called.
And there are other solutions out there, but it lends a certain special latency to everything, and we're dealing with that. For example, in the podcast, the last two podcasts that we recorded, where two people will start talking at the same time, and then a second later they realize what happened, and then they just start doing, it's not even an exponential back off, it's like a linear back off, and everybody has the same amount of delay, and so they keep going, no, you, and then it's like 10 seconds before you can start the conversation again.
Last week I was having internet connection issues, and I had my ping to google.com was 8 seconds, so all my my meetings over GVC had an 8 second delay. It made for painfully awkward conversations.
8 seconds.
And
that could
how
be
far
like
do
audio
you live?
Waves, basically.
Yeah. How far do you live from like the main campus, the heart of Google? You're what?
I'm like 4 miles away. Four or five miles away. Yeah. The heart of Silicon Valley.
So you could have walked the data there faster, maybe.
Pretty.
Did you ever run the trace route command on Unix? So you would basically write trace route and then the IP address or server you want to connect to, and it would sort of use some sort of protocol to figure out what all the hops are and list them. And it's kind of surprising sometimes the route your packets will take through the network. So yeah, when you have a really long delay, it's kind of fun to see, oh, it was going by Greenland. I see. Okay.
Makes sense. Chad, to your point, there's, I think for many of us, there's been a lot of adjustments. So it's been interesting to see everyone, like, you know, figuring out their own setup, like their own way of dealing with working from home. I know that for one, and I know it's been I've seen that advice from many people on Twitter, you know, trying to like stick to the same schedule that I had before, making sure that I do get dressed in the morning, I don't take my meetings in my PJs. You know, it feels like a regular day.
As an attendee of your meetings, I want to thank you for that.
Well, you only see the top of what I'm wearing.
Still, I want to thank you anyway for the things that I don't know about and don't want to. I'm also curious, like as we flipped the switch on like temporary work from home to long-term work from home, like how many things really mattered. Like I can work on my laptop from anywhere, right? It's, you grab that thing and you go, you know, I travel a lot and it's totally sufficient. And after a week of trying to use the keyboard on this, I'll call it a MacBook because it is, it drove me nuts. It absolutely drove me nuts. I could not do that anymore. And I needed some sort of, you know, the laptop still works fine. I can do my work, but I can't type on the keyboard anymore.
Well, now you know why I switched to Linux about 3 years ago when it came out with that broken keyboard. You know, I couldn't handle it. I tried for about three to 6 months and then I gave up.
Yeah, well, I realized like I do have an alternate keyboard at the office, right? And so I really only deal with it when I'm in transit or working in a coffee shop. But when it when it's going to be, you know, 8 to 10 hour keyboard a day.
I basically have been using laptops exclusively the last almost 20 years. So when I joined Google about 10 years ago, they handed me a workstation. But since I go back and forth so much and I have a lot of time on the shuttle, it wasn't practical to have my work on a workstation and try to synchronize at the beginning and end of each day. So I've just basically gotten used to having my laptop exclusively, and I already turned my workstation, I think, within a month.
My issue with laptops is the ergonomics, right? Like using a laptop for a while, you know, you may or may not like the keyboard, but the problem for me is really like what it does to like my wrist, my shoulder, like, you know, causes a lot of pains if I do this for long periods of time. So I've always, at home, I always had like a monitor and a keyboard and a mouse, like even, you know, hooking up my laptop. So that transition didn't feel too different for me.
Well, that has worked well for me, but for many years I used to, what are those things called? You know, those, the inflatable balls that you sit on?
Oh, yes.
You know, a while back, that was considered...
Ridiculous, I think is the word you're looking for.
Well, they were sort of considered ergonomical back then, right? So when I started, I think Yeah. And so I would sit on it, but I sat on it exclusively for very long days, you know, 10-hour days. And over time, I would sort of slouch to one side and I would just kind of like just starting leaning.
That's where you walk.
I think I'm not joking. That actually happened. I think 3 years in, I noticed that I wasn't really standing straight. And I think it was basically that, just prolonged leaning on one side. I finally got rid of it. So I think it's, you know, if you can just use it a couple of hours, I have one in my office still here. I just don't use it. It's probably fine, right? But it's just not good to use it exclusively the way I did.
Yeah.
That was one of my changes too. Like, Romain mentioned this ridiculous treadmill thing that I do. But that was actually a slight transition. I use a standing desk anyway, and it's because of that same slouch. Like I slouch in chairs. I just noticed if you sit me in a chair 2 hours later, I've got a horrible posture. And that can't be good for the long run. Whereas standing kind of enforces a little better posture because you're just standing there. So then it was a slight change to home to actually just walk at the same time as I was standing.
Yeah, what I discovered is that you know, I'm lucky enough that I have a desk at home. That's where I do, like, I edit all my photos. And I thought I was well set up. And after the first week of working from home, I realized that my desk was like a couple inches too high and it was like destroying my shoulder. So I like changed desk because otherwise doing this in the long run, I think would be really bad.
Yeah. We all need, you know, ergonomic departments at home that just come by and, you know, check the measurements every now and then.
No, but it's interesting that, you know, doing something for only a couple hours, like here and there, whenever you have time at home as a hobby or whatever, like it's completely different from doing it 8 hours a day. And, you know, you don't realize that until you actually do it.
Well, do you remember how our industry, it's been a while now, maybe 15 years ago, carpal tunnel syndrome was like this big thing that everyone feared getting. You don't hear much about carpal anymore, but we're still using the same keyboards. You know what happened?
People suffer in silence. Or we've evolved genetically to deal with the keyboard.
I mean, I think there are more devices and mitigations for that. So I do know people that do suffer from that, but I think it is not as vocal as it used to be, maybe because there are reasonable keyboards and trackpads and mice and whatever.
I think people take
Somebody on one of my teams, you know, had issues, but he found ways to mitigate it and got on with the workday. Like, maybe it's just not as sort of medically crippling as it was once because they didn't really know how to treat it.
Yeah, the alternatives, sure. And also people are aware of it. So something I know of a few coworkers that use those vertical mice that have this ergonomic keyboard. So yeah, if you take preventive measures, then it's probably not going to be an issue. But yeah,
so
you know, our, our, our work is physically dangerous, obviously.
I think that's the point we were trying to make there. I was curious when you were talking to her, like, I think of anybody, certainly of us three, you are the best prepared for the current situation because you have been work from home half-time since you've been at Google, right? But even more than that, when I knew you in a previous company, right? You were like full-time work from home.
You said
yeah,
that you
I was full-time
from
work
home.
From home from about 2002 to about 2010. So that was 5 days a week. Most of the people I work with were based in, I mean, even though I had coworkers in Menlo Park and in Santa Clara, the people I worked the most with were in Prague. So it wasn't really important to be in the office. And I got used to it. Though this is a pretty extreme form of working from home that I now learn not everyone likes, you know. There is an advantage.
You mean in your family?
Yeah, they're like, why are you home all the time? No, I'm kidding. No, I think a lot of people dream of being able to work from home more, but they probably imagine 2 days a week, maybe, you know, so you have office time, but you have some more flexibility. And going from, you know, not working at home at all to 5 days a week, never seeing your coworkers or other people for that matter, because you're sheltering in place. Yeah. That's a pretty extreme form of working from home. That, you know, is probably not for everyone.
So what do you mentioned coworkers, like there's definitely a dynamic in the team where we didn't necessarily have scheduled meetings a lot, you know, occasional one-on-ones or whatever, but otherwise you just see people around the office and that is completely gone. And so I find teams and sub-teams sort of setting up these meetings for no purpose, like, you know, a lunch meeting where we'll just get together and chat just because human interaction, it turns out, is kind of nice, you know, and actually checking in with, you know, coworkers, see what people are up to. Sort of healthy. What's going on in your teams? Have you seen similar things?
Yeah, we're doing all kinds of experiments. I think different teams are doing different things. So there's, I think, one team that are doing a daily coffee break. So in the morning, they just kind of all hop on, you know, a hangout and just chat about whatever's going on. Not work related necessarily, right? Just kind of, you know, while drinking coffee, talking, and that seems to, you know, serve some need. For just, you know, I don't want to say human contact. That sounds kind of sappy, but you know, it's kind of nice
to
start today.
It's the social aspect of work.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's people who do daily stand-ups or, you know, stand-ups 3 days a week to sort of synchronize on work. There's people who have a team doc where they're writing status reports so everyone can sort of see what everyone's working on. So there's many different forms of keeping everyone in the loop.
I've seen on our team, I've seen something interesting where there's apparently a software you can use to do like social biking. So you use, you know, one of those at-home bikes, like in your living room. But there's you have an avatar, so you can see your coworkers and you can race against them in this like 3D
version. Roman, didn't you tell me you have a Peloton bike or whatever and that you were into it?
I have a Peloton bike, yeah, but it's more like you take classes. You don't really have like, this is more like almost a video game version of biking where you see like your avatar, like, you know, on the course. So yeah, it's an interesting take on, I don't think that's something that people would have necessarily done, like, you know, if it weren't for the fact that yeah, everybody's working from home and they want to like spend more time with their coworkers.
I like the idea of that, what is it, Netflix Hangout, Netflix Party. Like there's I think it's not actually Netflix, but they must get buy-in from Netflix itself where you can get together with your friends and you basically have a chat stream in the middle of watching the movie together. So it's a way to get together with people online and enjoy this online experience that we're typically used to enjoying.
Oh, is it like a Chrome extension or something?
It is. Yes, it is. It's a separate app. And I assumed that it was Netflix, but I went to the site and it looks like it's not. So, you know, here I am advertising some company randomly. But I think to me, it represents an interesting dynamic that I don't think would have popped up except for this situation.
So here's a startup idea. An app that you run on your phone so that when you're watching Netflix by yourself, it makes the noises that you would hear at the movie theater, like, you know, someone like picking up the phone, the popcorn. So it's really annoying, but you know, it feels like
unwrapping candy constantly in the row in front of me. Yes. Yeah.
So it gives you that social connection to the rest of the world.
Oh, I see. I'm not the only grumpy person.
It'll create friends for me. Yes. That would be nice. So I'm also seeing changes in, So we heard, you know, for many years, we have many remote colleagues who would complain about the dynamics in meetings where most of the people are in the critical mass area, like, you know, the home base.
I wouldn't say they were complaining. It's more they were reminding others that there's a better way of doing this. We have to be fair.
Absolutely. Bad way of phrasing that. They were pointing out a problem that I don't think the people in the room were really understanding. I mean, we could sort of theoretically understand it, but now we're living it. So it's interesting to get used to the new video conference dynamics where everybody's remote, everybody's suffering latency. You have to figure out how to, you know, answer a question without clobbering somebody else, whatever it is, right?
So I will say,
visual cues. Like I just saw Romain raise his hand saying, I would like to interrupt you. And yes. It actually works. Go ahead.
Yes. Actually, there is, and we should be using it, but internally we have this tool called Raise My Hand, which is a virtual way of raising your hand in a large meeting. And we've used it in a couple of meetings where we had like dozens of people. And it actually worked remarkably well. So it's funny that just the act of raising your hand, we need to build like, you know, a piece of software and the whole infrastructure behind it. But yeah, so it's interesting to see like new things come up to deal with it.
Yeah, I think as someone who's often the remote person in meetings, I vastly prefer this, having everyone be remote. And I've heard that in some of the companies, even when they're co-located, I think this might be GradleWare actually, they all go to individual locations to call into meetings instead of having some people in the same room, just sort of to make an even playing field for everyone. And I, you know, some of the stuff that you would get before this, you would dial into a room and the mics are on the table and it picks up all the noise in the room. So people typing who aren't paying attention to the meeting or typing, it picks up all that typing noise. Often people will bring food to meetings and they'll sit and eat, you know, and those eating noises come through. You don't hear it in the room, but you certainly hear it on the mics. And now with everyone being remote, you get much less of that. Basically, people are generally muted except when they're talking. And, you know, all the participants are basically, there's not this preference for the people in the room who have shorter latency and therefore conversations hopping back and forth between people in the room. Everyone's sort of on an equal footing for getting a word in edgewise.
So there are also, so we're talking about sort of work from home aspects. There's also changes to the work that we're actually doing. I'm not sure if it impacts you on the product and engineering side as much, but certainly on the DevRel side, like the things that we used to do as part of our job kind of went away for now. So then there's an interesting pivot, not just to the tools that we use, but to the things that we do, right? So if you imagine like all the videos that you've seen that we've recorded, the DevByte sort of short form, short attention span format videos, those are filmed in amazing studios, right? The studio that we've seen pictures of for the podcast, that's one of the video studios where they shoot these kind of things. You have a green screen, you have editors, they pull this thing together, they make it look really polished, and now we're at home. So what do? So you sort of figure out, okay, what are the priorities? Like, do we need videos for now? Do we need articles? It's kind of interesting to know what is important to the community, because I think there are different ways of consuming content. But we, as a team, are trying to figure out, okay, what should we be doing? Where do we focus that? Do we go back into just writing more code and writing more articles for now? Do we figure out how to? So I have a home video set up because I happen to have a camera, and then I picked up some cheap lights and microphone to get a basic setup. It doesn't mimic what we could do in a studio, but it's you know, close enough for at least, you know, the rough show that I was doing. Yeah, Tor.
So I've heard someone, and this, I don't remember who said it, but that they're consuming a lot less podcasts these days.
I heard that as a piece of data from I wish I could remember the source, but podcasts in general have gone down because commutes have gone down, right?
Well, so I guess that's the theory. I don't think we know. I certainly consume just as much as before because I still run. But I guess a lot of people listen to podcasts while commuting. I guess they're doing less of that.
Yeah, I still
maybe no one will hear this podcast.
I still exercise, but I was never listening to podcasts during that time. For me, it was only, you know, during commute. So I see podcast episodes accumulate in my podcast application. So I guess I'll need to take a week of vacation or something just to catch up. And you're right, like most likely nobody will listen to this episode.
I actually like listening to podcasts while exercising because it's more distracting than music. So it makes the run go faster, basically.
It takes the pain away.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm like Tora. I'm listening to more podcasts now because typically I work out in a gym, and I realized a couple of years ago, oh, if I'm going to work out on an exercise machine, then I could just watch TV. So I basically just blow through tons and tons of shows in the gym. Well, the gym went away, and if I'm going out for a run, it's a little hard to watch TV without, you know, getting hit. So yeah, I've been listening to podcasts for the first time in a while, not ours. So even we aren't listening to ours. It's just going to go unlistened to.
Oh.
So I'm curious whether some of the stuff that you, I mean, clearly in developer relations, like it impacts the kinds of things that we can do, especially in the video area and the in-person conferences, like those are on hold for now. Right. And some of the conferences are trying to do an interesting pivot to do an online version of that thing. And then what would that be like? What would the interaction with the crowd be like if you're giving a talk? You know, what would the recordings be like? I'm sort of curious as people experiment with that.
Yeah, Chet, how are we going to make jokes on stage without an audience? Because it's I was watching, you know, John
Laugh
Oliver.
Track.
Yeah, because I was watching John Oliver on YouTube. So now, you know, the recording, it's only him without an audience. And it's very interesting because you can pick up on the jokes and, you know, where like they used to be very funny. Now they're, you know, it's like small, tiny smell, but it doesn't feel as funny because you don't hear other people, you know, react yep. as well. So it does like bring the energy down and it feels very
yeah, different. Yeah. Or it's not that it brings it down. It's just that normally laugh tracks actually work. That's why they're still in
yeah.
use.
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, there's an undeniable sense of energy that I think an audience brings. It's also, you know, it's a cue so that you know, oh, I just missed that. And then you can go back and play it back in your mind and get the joke. But it's also just that energy in the room. Yeah. And it totally goes away. I listen to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is one of my podcasts and changes the dynamic completely because, you know, they've got these, you know, four comedians sort of going rapid fire all the time and they'll drop a very funny, you know, real-time improv joke and there's zero reaction from the room. And then you just feel bad for them instead. They're not any less funny, but they do have a far smaller audience now.
It reminds me of some of our talks, Chet.
Dog in the corner. But yeah, laugh track. I think that is definitely the answer there.
We should try that like randomly during the podcast. Just have some laughter.
Well, I feel like a year ago there was some talk about all the conferences and the impact that has on the environment, all the flying around the world to be speakers everywhere. So there was already some, I know some speakers were sort of thinking, hey, let's maybe not all travel around the world and do talks. Maybe we can talk more locally. And I guess there's just more investigation now into how do you have conferences online and make that work well. And it certainly would scale better. If you think of something like Google I/O, it's a pretty small number of people who can actually come. Compared to all the developers that we'd like to talk to.
Present globally, shelter locally.
Yeah. You should be in marketing, Chet. What I hope this will help with, so it's good, like, you know, clearly a bunch of folks, including Chet apparently, are thinking of how we can proceed with conferences. But it seems to me that could enable like more flexibility, right? Because when you go to a conference, usually you have a time slot, so you have like 45 minutes. you have 45 minutes or 35 minutes or whatever, like the conference organizers have set it. And sometimes it's not quite what you need for your particular topic. So you might end up early, which is, you know, might feel awkward or you run out of time. Whereas if you, let's say you pre-record the talks and you just stream them online, you know, they could be as long or as short as they need to be depending on the content. Like it's...
And you can fill the rest with ads. That's what they do for sitcoms, right?
Yes.
22 minutes of content.
I'm afraid if you didn't give me an end time, I would never stop.
I have the same like,
latest Now and Android episode that I recorded, it was the longest so far. Like here I am in this totally, you know, rough studio at home and I just kind of...
Normally, the studio engineer's starting to get really, you know, restless and bored and, you know...
Just shut me down, yeah.
I was going to say, I wouldn't know because I didn't watch it or listen to it or read it or... I feel like every time I open some social media site, like there's something about Now in Android. How many? Because you have what? You have an audio version, a video version, and a written version, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You need to just find.
Gotta cover. Are there any formats that I haven't covered yet?
You could yell it on the street. You could have a video game. You could. I don't know.
Make sure you make it available in Braille.
Accessibility. We just recorded that.
We'll work on that. Yes.
But yeah, back to your question, Chet. I mean, obviously, this completely changes the way you and your team have to work because, well, like you said, your job is kind of to travel and get in front of people, which would be in bad form right now. I think for us, I think it really depends on the role and the projects, but definitely as a manager and Thor, I assume it was the same for you. I feel like, we've been spending more time in one-on-ones, in meetings specifically about making sure that everybody is okay, making sure everybody has that people have what they need. The kind of stuff we normally do, but I feel like it became more important, and so we're spending more time doing that.
Yeah, not just making sure that people have all the technology and equipment they need, but also that they're okay, right?
Yeah, that's my point.
It's a pretty unsettling time. And so making sure everyone's sort of, feeling connected and supported
and everybody's situation is different. Because it works for someone doesn't mean it's going to work for everybody and the other way around. So it's, in that regard, it's interesting. It would be better to not have to deal with this at all, but,
It feels like we've gotten pretty good as a society at divorcing home from work, like everybody comes in the office and you can pretend that you're all the same kind of people in the office environment. And all of a sudden everybody's back in their home environment and you realize everybody's lives are quite different and everybody has different constraints. They may be a parent whose children can't go to school for the next, N months. And then how do you deal with that on top of work responsibilities? Or, their home setup is not conducive to doing work, through networking or capability that they have or the space that they have or whatever. So yeah, it's an interesting dynamic to see come down and to make sure that everybody is okay and can get along.
Yeah, I found a solution. My kids are just, I will teach them how to code and they will make contributions to AOSP. They will keep them busy and they will help with the job. No, not a good idea.
So Romain, like his productivity was completely shot, but it turns out his kids were better at programming than he was. So
I'm okay with
it. Over the cycle.
If it wasn't for this shelter in place order, I would send my kids to your house, Romain.
I see.
Get them trained.
But yeah, no. Otherwise, it's again. I guess it depends on the project, but for the toolkit team, because we mostly work on Jetpack nowadays. All of our stuff is in AOSP. The project is fairly large, but it's nowhere near like the Android platform, for instance. So folks can work on laptops. We don't need specialized hardware. I don't know, but maybe people work on self-driving cars. Well, it might be more difficult if you don't have access to a lab or to specific hardware.
Traffic situation for the self-driving cars is probably easier.
Yes, which is probably bad for testing.
Yeah.
It's not affecting that too much. I think it's more around organization and doing the meetings and making sure that communication flows and everybody knows what's going on.
Yep. Also figuring that the dynamic, there's an interesting sort of background thing going on that I'm noticing where there's a bunch of work going into figuring out how to do work, right? Sort of this meta as everybody is spinning up on this, replanning things or figuring out how we interact through docs or, we can't do this thing that way, so we have to figure out another solution. So sort of this background work that spins up that you did not anticipate a couple of months ago.
Well, there are also, some, I will say benefit, but I hope people don't take me the wrong way, but, a big news that I/O is not happening this year. And I/O is always very exciting, and it's and clearly we love participating. I think folks may have noticed that Chet and I tend to give many talks. But I gotta say, this year there was a bit of relief on my part of knowing that I wouldn't have to spend so much extra time working on presentations, and it's kind of bittersweet, right? I will miss I/O, but really, less work to do doesn't hurt.
It is strange to have this spring for work without this big thing hanging over us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially because even, I mean, you know, both of you and myself, like for just a year, but at Sun Microsystems, where we worked together, there was also Java one that was around the same time of the year. In my professional life, I've always known Spring as the time where you have that big conference and things have to be ready and you're going to work.
The last 20 years, basically, for me, have always been this, where April is this month of being nervous.
Yeah, and you're going to help like with the keynote and you're going to, you know, have to come up with the content. And yeah, it's a stressful time.
Yeah.
That might explain why we're all losing our hair, our gray hair.
Lisa... It's a very strange time we're living in. Feel very privileged to, you know, to be able to work from home and have a safe job and all that.
Definitely. And you know, you can't help but think it's easy to think about that. But you know, like, okay, if this had happened, you know, 20 years ago and without internet, even just keep entertained, right? Like, forget about the work from home, but just every night to be able to like, you know, buy more books or watch more movies or just do something. Like, because, you know, I could keep playing the same board game over and over again, but at some point I'll be tired of playing the same game with my kids.
Crazy 8 can only do it so many thousand times before it gets a little repetitive.
Yeah.
I've been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed. Like, I have a lot more time back in my very strange life, but nothing to do with it, right? Because I typically spend a lot of my day commuting because I don't live very near the office. And the traffic in this area used to be really horrible.
But besides,
now extra time. So Assassin's Creed. So I'm becoming a much more violent person than I think I was before.
Besides commuting, for me, it was always like, it helps me end my day at a more reasonable time, I found. Because, you know, if I'm at work, once all the meetings are done, you still have a ton of work to do because there's always an infinite amount of work to do. And you know, it's like, oh, if I leave now, I'm going to hit the traffic. So I'm going to stay a little longer, work some more. And, you know, lo and behold, it's like 6, 7 o'clock and you've been at work all day since you're early. So, and at home, I find it easier to just stop, you know, after I put in a good day. So yeah, I also got back more time to play video games, which
that's
is very
actually
important.
Something that people who start working from home often have a hard time with. When you go to the office and work and you come home and your work is not at home, that's basically it. And when you start working from home and your computer's there, I think, especially people who start out working from home, when they get that email, you know, at 8 p.m., they kind of feel obligated to answer it. And so there's this advantage that you can be much more flexible with your time. You can work for 2 hours, take 2 hours off, work for 2 hours, and you can sort of spread out your workday to fit around requirements in your life, like taking care of kids or shopping, whatever you need to do. But the second you don't have that regular work hours, you have to pay much more attention. And so you don't have this, you know, this weird life balance where you're always working. Of course, on the other side of it, you also have to make sure you have the discipline to actually work a full day, right? At least on average over the week. So it's a new challenge, I think.
Yeah, I've noticed some of that, like more more ability or potential for just, well, you know, I have this other stuff that's coming up on Monday. So over the weekend, it's like, well, I got nothing else to do. Why not crack open the laptop and do a bit more, which is fine in the short term. And in the long term, like if you really blur that line between home life and work life, probably not that healthy.
I can think of a few things you should be doing, Chet, instead of working on the weekend. Don't you have a couple of personal projects to finish?
I do. A little hard to drive the motivation for those, but
get cracking.
We'll get there. Yep. In the meantime, so many people to do horrible things to in Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I feel like
learned something new about Chet is a secret assassin fantasy.
Yeah, and have you picked up the new Doom, Chet? Because you really liked the previous one.
It was very good. It was one of my favorite games. Yes, I need that, but I can only do one game. You know, because of those personal projects. Let me get through those first, and then I can pick up more video games.
Okay, sounds good. Well, let me know how you find it.
All right.
How about you, Tor? What do you do when you're not working? Actually, I'm not sure I've ever seen you not work.
True.
Like when we travel, well, we tour, like, you know, we're waiting for the plane. On the plane, Tor is always, I feel like his laptop is glued to his hands and he has to.
Well, but that's like, that's coding, which I, you know, which is fun for me. No, I think these days I spend an inordinate amount of time reading news, which, you know, is not super fun, but I just find myself, I can't not. There's just so much that I'm, you know, thinking about and concerned about. So other than working and that, I basically end up binging a lot of TV and Netflix, you know, escapism, basically. On romance recommendation, I got an Oculus Quest a while back, so I've been playing with that a little bit, but I am not a first-person shooter kind of person, and so many of the games seem to be in that genre, so it's hard for me to find something I'm interested in.
Have you been trying the rhythm games, like Beat Saber?
Also not. Like, I'm not really a casual gamer either. So, like, I know that you often will post on Twitter, like, Android Week, Game of the Week, and things like that. I don't tend to do a lot of gaming either.
So I think what you are is a difficult gamer.
Yeah, this is probably true. But
I'm wondering why you picked up that device, because it does not. You are not their target demographic.
Well, I'm very interested in graphics. I studied that in grad school, and so just for me to sort of look at sort of the state of the art and so I played some games like Moss. I really enjoyed, because you're just in this beautiful world, and just the sensation of the three-dimensional world sort of being there. It's really well done. I mean, I'm enjoying that part of it. It's just the even in that game, I got stuck. It's just there's a little bit of fighting you have to do, and I'm just not good at that. And so I basically like given up when I got to that level. I'm like, I can't beat this crab. Screw it. And I wish it was a cheat code. I tried the Konami code. You know, I just want to get past this. Like, I just want to explore. I want to explore this world. I don't actually want to, you know, defeat any monsters. I don't care about that part.
No, I understand.
I'm the same way. When I watch a movie, if there's a car chase scene, I am so bored. I have to pull up my phone or do something, because I'm just, oh, you can drive. What a skill. You know,
it is a skill, Tor. I would like to see you drive, because apparently you're an amazing stunt car driver.
I don't know.
He just gets bored with his own driving, takes out his phone and watches that for a while instead.
I don't want to say too much about it, because I'm sure lots of people enjoy it, right? This, to me, it's just, I don't really have the patience for long car chase scenes.
Something I should be doing with my spare time is go through my humongous backlog of photos that I took. Yeah.
I've seen you post a couple recently.
When we were in Tokyo, I think Roman was taking probably 1,000 pictures a day, and then he releases these like one picture per month. So at this rate, like the input rate does not match the output rate.
I'm looking at them right now. Like, I have a lot of good ones. I just need to you know, deal with them. And I thought that, you know, being at home, I would do that more, but because. Well, it's my office during the day. In the evening, I'm like, I don't want to set foot in that room anymore. You know, it's like, I'm done. Like, I don't want to go back to the computer. So, and also, I can't go take more pictures. So, not doing photos. So, I'm posting all the ones.
That's something I actually enjoy, just pulling out Google Photos and scrolling through old photos and just looking at them. You know, for me, it's not art in the way it is for you, Roma. So, I guess for you, like, you have to like sit and spend time on a single photo to post-process it. But I feel like I've seen some of your raw material. It's all good. Just release all of it.
Of course it's good. Why
does it take you so long to release a photo? And why is there only one?
Because I'm not going to release all of them. You have to curate them, like find the good ones. Tor and I were in Tokyo because we're supposed to go to Joy Kaigi, the conference. And as we were in the air, the conference got canceled. So we landed in Tokyo and suddenly there was no conference. So we spent some quality time eating and also working from the Roppongi office, which was almost empty because I think people were moving to a different building. Anyway, so I saw the way Tor takes pictures, and Tor takes pictures of food. So I can picture when you're scrolling your list of Google Photos, just dishes. Like,
reliving good meals.
Yes, reliving good meals.
No, I also have a lot of photos of my pets. Some of the kids too, but my dogs more. Yeah, well, you know, my kids aren't so willing to be photographed, whereas my dogs are, you know.
They don't care.
They're used to it, yeah.
And so that's all you do. You two do at home, walk on your treadmill, play video games, watch Netflix.
I like to bake. So like on the weekend, so not on a work night when I'm tired from working, but on the weekend, I actually enjoy baking. And I have noticed that now with the shelter in place order, a lot of the people seem to have taken up baking. It seems to be like the new hot thing, especially bread baking, which is something I enjoy doing.
I was just about to
not
say,
sourdough though, but.
My wife just taught me how to make bread. And as far as I'm concerned, bread is like oxygen. I can't go a day without, you know, I have always emergency baguettes in the freezer just in case we run out of fresh bread. So I need to give it a try myself now.
Well, I like baking because you can bake the kind of bread you like. You know, it's hard, at least for me, to buy the kind of bread that I like. Well, certainly now, but also in general.
If it's not sourdough, it's the good kind.
Yeah, I'm not a huge sourdough fan.
No, you're supposed to be in this area, and I have never liked sourdough. Nope.
Yeah,
I don't understand it. It's just not top of the list. But you need good crust, you know.
Yes.
And I enjoy putting, you know, beer in the batter, not batter, the bread dough, and also some spices like aniseed or, you know, it's all good.
You're way too fancy for me, Tor. I'm a simple man.
Yeah, you just want basically like a French baguette.
Pretty much. Just a big loaf and some cheese.
What kind of cheese?
All of them.
Wow, this is a really informative podcast. We're just creating quality content. No, we just thought it'd be kind of nice to get together. I think that we're sort of doing that more with our teams as well. And I guess I can't speak for you two, but, you know, me and my relatives in Norway as well. You know, so it's a good time to sort of.
I haven't gotten together with your relatives in Norway yet. I should put that on my list.
I've been trying for years, but the Tor just wouldn't let me.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what else there's to say.
It's been nice talking to everybody about how we are coping with this thing or adjusting to the new reality. Hope that everybody else out there is adjusting as well.
And we will apologize to the listeners for the extra awkward pauses. And, you know, we're doing this over video conferencing. There's a bit of lag. We're still not used to it. We're recording at home, so sound is probably worse than when we do this in this beautiful studio that we have on site at Google. So, yeah, the listeners will have to adjust as well.
All right. Well, this is the part of the podcast where we thank the guests, and we don't.
Thank you, Chet. Thank you, Tor.
Thank you.
Thank you, and stay safe, everyone.
All right.